But as we come now with the, and we have the elements there, they are a representation of God's continued presence and faithfulness. So let's go to the Lord before I preach in a time of prayer. And particularly, let's think, as I want us to think about those who are contending for the faith, those who are maintaining true faith in Jesus Christ despite persecution, despite challenges. And there's many challenges all throughout the world, wherever people are. But let's go before the Lord with that this morning. So would you bow your heads with me? Almighty God, in silence we come together, in silence, in the stillness of our hearts, we come before you. And we thank you and praise you, O God, for your never-ending faithfulness, your continued presence, even when it gets very dark. And so we lift up to you those who are holding true to you despite persecution. And so we pray today for those who are imprisoned because of faith in Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are being segregated, isolated, and discriminated against because of their faith in Jesus. We pray for those today who are ostracized from their communities. We lift up those brothers and sisters in primarily Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or some other area where there's another predominant faith. They've perhaps been separated from not only their communities, but from their families. And Lord, we pray that you would strengthen them where they are to stay faithful and give them joy in their suffering. Some of us here may know a friend, a family member who is really suffering for the sake of their faith at work, in their families, in their marital relationships. Heavenly Father, we pray for a faithfulness despite these challenges. Lord, help us who are in a stronger place to be an encouragement, to come alongside in whatever way we can. And even as we bow our heads before the cross, we are reminded that you have called us all to a place where we will suffer hardship in some way, shape, or form, bodily, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, perhaps, or vocationally, financially, in some way. Not only that, Lord, but you've called us to sacrifice. So as we enter this Christmas season, we celebrate communion, we remember your sacrifice, your self-giving nature. And help us, Lord, help us, teach us, instruct us, inspire us, guide us, and help us to be especially listening to your Holy Spirit speak to us and as in the calling of being sacrificial and generous givers. And may all that we do go to your glory, Jesus. And this we pray. Even in your name we pray. Amen. All right. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Looking out, see most of you have been here, all of you have been here the last several weeks, and we are now finished with the the sermon series called The Big Story, and we're going to start a new one here as we enter Advent. So we enter this time of year. I want to think, I'm going to start with the subject of gifts. When I lift up, say, the subject of gifts, have you ever gotten a gift that was just right, just what you might call the perfect gift? Think of that. You probably all have received a gift that touched your heart, right? Big and little. And I've got a little one here this morning that touched my heart. I think I got this last year. All right, you know, looking at me, what is that? Pastor's putting a hat on in church. Yep. So this I got for a gift last year, and it really touched my heart. It was the perfect gift. Not perfect, but you know what I mean, right? So what is this? Why is this perfect? Because it's the Minnesota North Stars. Hockey's my number one sport. The North Stars are my number one team. If you've ever walked into my office and gotten your eyes past the mess on my desk and looked on the back wall, there's a pennant for the Minnesota North Stars, and underneath that there's a painting of some boys on a pond playing hockey. And that, so this takes me back, is what it does. And so that's why it touches my heart. Besides that, I was looking for one for the longest time, just like this, and then I got it, so that was really cool. Right? Gifts have a way of moving us and touching our hearts and being very instrumental in, just being a blessing to us in some way, shape, or form. You know, we think about the subject of gifts, so when I talk about gifts, you know, our minds can go a lot of places. Everybody has a different response to gifts, right? Most kids, almost all kids, love gifts, right? They love giving and especially receiving gifts, right? We have different, but some of us at this time, and some of us really get into gift giving. Others kind of dread this season. We also, for one reason or another, some of us are list makers. And, well, like my mom, she asks for a list of what everybody would like. Others are very spontaneous. Some of us want to make our gifts. Others love to go out and shop for gifts. There's all a variety of different responses when it comes to gifts. But I am going to preach a sermon series now on the subject of spiritual gifts. And I have, when we think about spiritual gifts in the church, what is a spiritual gift, right? We're going to seek, that's the goal this morning, to answer that question. But what is a spiritual gift? Is it a miracle, right? Is it preaching, prayer, service? What is a spiritual gift, and what are they for? So my goal is to do two things. First, it's to instruct and inspire you to be a giver of spiritual gifts. We have been gifted with spiritual gifts from God in order that we might give spiritual gifts to others. So the title of this sermon series is Gifted to Give. All right? And it is the season for gifts. So I want to capitalize. You know, our consumer economy totally capitalizes, right, on the practice of the giving of gifts. We just endured what? Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, right? Well, I want to capitalize spiritually. I think there's great profit to be made for the sake of the kingdom if we can be instructed and inspired to be givers of spiritual gifts. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I just want us to, you know, and this is more of a secondary hope as I preach this. We think about, you know, the practice of giving gifts. I don't want to discourage anybody from giving gifts. Rather, I want you to think about and get a Christian consciousness of the practice of giving gifts and how we can all get into the spirit of giving, because I think it's very Christian. It can, and like everything else, it can lose focus, and Satan can definitely twist it, but it can be really used for a great profit. So that's the hope in this series. Like I said, I want to this morning get to answer this question. What is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? And so to answer that question, I would like you to lean in and follow along as I read through the first 15 verses of Paul's letter to the Romans. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, which is a more literal version than the New International Version, closer to a word-for-word translation of the Bible. So follow along as I read. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. This is God's word. Okay, lots of verses there. I want to make three points this morning in seeking to answer this question. First, I want to say that God sets the standard for spiritual gifts. Number two, spiritual gifts are expressions of love for strengthening faith. And number three, spiritual gifts come from faith, by faith, for faith. All right, first, God sets the standard for spiritual gifts. We started in verse 1. You know, you heard the spiritual gifts thing there in the second half. But I started in verse 1 because Paul grounds what he's saying. He opens his letter in the big story of God. And in my big story series, I talked about the importance of knowing the big story because it helps us interpret the little things in the Bible. So in the big story, I want you to get back. You know, Paul talks about, you know, he sent his son born, according to the flesh from David, according to the spirit, he was raised from the dead. So Jesus, fully human, fully divine, entered into time. It's a and this all came, it was foretold by the prophets. A reference to the big story. Think about the big story. This is what I want to be grounded in. God, and throughout Scripture in the big story, is a God who takes the initiative to give, right? We see a God that's always coming and seeking after man, seeking after human beings. Some say that the Bible is a book about it that reflects man's search for God, and that's absolutely flip-flopped. The Bible is a book about God's search for man, that it's God seeking after human beings. Think about it, right? When God created the world in love, out of love for his creation. When man fell in the garden, God sought out Adam and Eve. Where are you? When all the hearts of human beings had in his creation had become only sought evil all the time, God sought out Noah and he set aside this family. God sought and called later Abraham. He sought after him. He pulled him out. He said, look at all these stars. He promised him great gifts. You see, as all those stars, you're going to have a posterity, a nation that'll be more than that, those people. He promised them, Abraham, a land to live in. God heard the cries of his people, and he sought them out and brought them out of slavery in Egypt. God then appeared first to Samuel and then to David. So God, again and again and again, is the one who takes the initiative, that he is the God who is seeking us out, right? And in the fullness of time, then we read this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Key word there is gave, right? But the whole story, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So we see a God who is seeking after a condemned world, and he gave his one and only son. God sets the standard for generosity. Jesus is the ultimate spiritual gift to us, right? And even the scripture that the prophets talked in, the prophets that Caleb read this morning, for unto us a son is born, unto us a son is what? Given, right? Again and again and again. God sets the standard for generosity, for giving. This generosity that we see here in the scripture, we call it in the church grace. Grace is the extension, the giving of a blessing, even when it's not deserved. And it's the offering of something, even when perhaps it may not be asked for. Grace is a gift to us. And we have the assurance, we receive the gifts of God, not by works, not by achievement, not by performance, but through faith, through believing the message that God sent his one and only Son, who gave his life for us. We receive that by faith. Have you received the gift of God by faith? That's the first point. That's the first question to ask when we talk about spiritual gifts. God sets the standard. Have you received the gift of salvation, of eternal life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ? He offered freely to you as a gift, not to be purchased, not to be earned, not to be merited, not to be achieved, but to be received as a gift through faith. That's the first question. God, then, is the one who sets the standard for spiritual gifts. Well, Paul continues, and he talks about what his goals with the Roman church are, right? And I want to ask, let's think about this, what makes this a gift? Is it inherently a gift? Right? I could have bought this hat. Would it have been a gift? No. So, Alex, when did this become a gift? Do you know? How did this hat become a gift? When it was given. That's right. Think about this. I want to think a little bit. When did it become a gift? Did it become a gift when I got it, or when it was offered, right? When it was offered with the intention, right, of freely. Now, I didn't have to buy it from the person who gave it to me, right? So So a gift is something, a gift becomes a gift when it's given. Simple point, right? Look at what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." Simple point here, we talk about spiritual gifts, is they are something that are to be offered, not to be hoarded. A gift becomes a gift when it is given, right? Paul wants to give the Roman church a spirit. He wants to, like Jesus, go to them, move towards them, and offer them a gift. Actually, he wants to experience not just the giving of gifts, but an exchange of gifts. He knows he needs what gifts that they have to offer as well. So we often think about spiritual gifts as our giftedness. I want us to first recognize spiritual gifts are something that we can, that we are to offer to one another. So I want to start out with a working definition of spiritual gifts, and here we go. Next slide. What is a spiritual gift? Well, spiritual gifts are an expression of love, right? We give, a Christian gift is an expression of love on behalf of one person given to another person in order to strengthen their faith. That's what Paul was after. I think that's a key thing here. I thought a lot about what's a spiritual gift? Does it have to be immaterial? Right? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we set the spirit as something invisible against the material, something we can see. Or what makes a spiritual gift spiritual? Does it have to be invisible? Does it have to be love or preaching or, you know, invisible to the eye? Or can it be something material? I think what's key in a spiritual gift is if it's intended to strengthen the faith of the other. Right? And that can come in a thousand different ways, by the way. We can give gifts that strengthen other by giving, by speaking a word of encouragement. That's a spiritual gift. I can preach to you. I am giving you a spiritual gift because that's exactly what Paul saw, right? That he was doing in preaching the gospel. He was extending them a spiritual gift. There's many other ways that we can do that. Right, and then I want to get to my third point. Spiritual gifts come from faith, by faith, and for faith. Unless I'm badly mistaken, this hat that was given to me was not made by the giver, it was purchased. Now, personally, I think that the person who gave me this gift has the gift of giving gifts. You tracking with me? I think the person who gave this gift has a gift of giving gifts. I've just noticed that about this person. In our church, I want us to be a people who noticed one another's and one another's gifts. We actually have a group of people that are going around, and maybe you've been interviewed already, that as a part of our ministry plan, we want to know what are what's the giftedness of our membership, those who participate, either our official members or regular participants, how are you gifted? And that's what I want to talk about here. Look at how Paul is gifted to offer spiritual gifts. Verse 13, he says, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome." So Paul has this, right, a giftedness. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul, and Deborah could probably do a better job, but we think about the Apostle Paul, the person. He was a Jewish man, well-educated, and educated in the scriptures. Every indication of the Apostle Paul shows that he was taught in a very astute Jewish form of instruction. Am I right in saying that he was a student, perhaps, of a Rabbi Gamaliel, I think, right? So he was a student and would have been, had gotten a lot of instruction. And a big part of instruction was to be a person who persuaded others, who taught the scriptures. That was a regular form of instruction. In fact, every indication shows that Paul was instructed in the art of rhetoric, in the Greek way of constructing an argument so as to persuade others. If we read 1 Corinthians 15, and many other passages show that he was instructed. So he had been gifted to teach and preach and persuade others. So he had a giftedness that came from God, and it became a spiritual gift when, from faith in Jesus, by faith in Jesus, he used that gift to offer it as a gift to others for faith in Jesus. Are you following me? Right? I read a sermon on this, and you break it down, spiritual gifts down to particulars. Part of my goal this morning is to get you thinking, okay, spiritual gifts, are they something I have or something that is given? And I'm going to say both, right? So a definition, a full definition of a spiritual gift is this. Spiritual gifts are expressions of love on the behalf of one person given to another person in order to strengthen their faith. Each of us is spiritually gifted to offer our gifts from faith in Jesus, by faith in Jesus, and for faith in Jesus. We are gifted to give. It sounds complicated, but it's really not that complicated, right? When we have our hearts set on Jesus, we can give to others out of our giftedness, right? No secret. Amy's a gifted administrator and communicator with many of you, and she's using that gift from faith, by faith, and for faith. Right? I hope. At least I hope. Right? So, and that's what God wants from all of us. Like, you can be a gifted administrator, be a gifted preacher, can be a gifted, have the gift, and there are many gifts in the Bible that are listed. Some of them are kind of esoteric gifts or ecstatic gifts, the gift of prophecy or healing, or the miraculous gifts can be in the church, but then there can be very ordinary, mundane gifts, gifts of service, gifts of compassion or mercy, right? These things, the critical thing is not to make light, because one big trap, and I want to preach more on this perhaps next week, is that, like, sometimes we talk about spiritual gifts, we all get deer in the headlights, you know, like, well, I can see the spiritual gift in somebody else, their giftedness, but I don't know about what I got to offer, right? But if you read the Bible, that's exactly what Paul says in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, is that you do have something to offer, right? And not only that, you need to be offering it, right? That's where the Christian life consists of. And here's the thing. Here's a point. I want to go back just a little bit. You can look at this scripture in verse 14 and 15. What motivated Paul? What motivated Paul? How was he motivated to offer spiritual gifts? And the answer to that motivation is, like, was it because Jesus is Lord? He told me to do this. He commanded me, so I have an obligation. But you could answer, yeah, he was commanded to give, as he was called to be an apostle, he had to do this. But, you know, the heart of the apostle Paul, he didn't do it out of duty, he did it out of love, out of the abundance of God, abundant experience of God's grace. A very interesting thing, verse 14, he says, for I am obligated both to barbarians and to Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish, to those who live on that side of the tracks and this side of the tracks, to those who live over here and over there and everywhere, I'm obligated to them. We think, well, and we're going to sing a worship song here that says, Jesus gave it all to him I owe, right? In the in the Greek, Paul uses this word. You can look at it. You can look in verse, I think it's 14. He says, I am a debtor, right? I owe it, but I don't owe it to God. I'll tell you what. You can get grace from God, and if you try to pay it back, you're just going to get deeper in debt. Because the only way you can do anything that pleases God is by grace, by depending on his goodness, on the riches and abundance of his love in order to serve him. But you do have an obligation, the Bible says. You do have a debt. You have a debt to others. You have the debt of love to pay, and you owe it to your neighbor. That's the Apostle Paul's logic. He said he longs to give gifts because he feels a sense of obligation. I've received amazing grace. I want others to see, to receive that same amazing grace. So he follows in the footsteps of his Savior. He follows in the example of God. He's an imitator of God in that he takes the initiative and moves towards others, offering spiritual gifts. So you can't preach. So there's 3 points I've made. Number one, God sets the standard. Number two, spiritual gifts are expressions of love for strengthening faith. And spiritual gifts come from faith, by faith, and for faith. So you can see in this understanding of spiritual gifts, it includes a wide range of things. And it comes down to where your heart is and where your actions are. You can't preach a sermon like this without a call to action. So we aim to be a people seeking Jesus and serving others. We seek Jesus because he first sought us. It's always a response to God's grace in our lives. But we serve others, right, out of our giftedness. That's who God has created us, what he's called us for and created us for. I want you to take time now, get very concrete. Did we get the inserts in the bulletin? I didn't get it. Did you get that? All right. At the bottom, there's a little a tear-off portion. You can tear it off if you like. I'll give you an option this morning of presenting this as an offering as you come to communion. But just three things. I want you to think of three people in your life. One in your home or family. Number two, somebody in your church. And number three, somebody at work or in the community, because I recognize not everybody's employed. So three spheres of life that we all operate in, at home or in the family, at church, and then number three, at work or in your community. Think of three people that you can move towards this week and offer a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift out of your giftedness, and if you feel like you don't have any giftedness to offer, then you can ask God for giftedness, right? To offer us. But I just want to keep this as simple as possible. Think out there, three people that I can encourage, that I can bless this week. And I'm going to take us into a time of reflective prayer. Not only is it important, I challenge you to think about it, but I want to ask the Holy Spirit to be involved in this. I want to ask to be, you know, God the Holy Spirit is the gift that God has given to each one of us of his presence within us. And God the Holy Spirit, a person, I believe, speaks to us as we hear his word written and we hear his word preached. So, and as we take time to listen in this very noisy and busy world. So I'm just going to lead us in a time of reflective prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Well, gracious God, generous, self-giving, God. We ask that by your Spirit you would bring three people to mind. Three people whom, Lord, we can offer gifts to this week. Perhaps someone we know or love is hurting. Perhaps we haven't seen someone for a long time and we can offer the gift of reconnection, of thoughtfulness. Perhaps it's someone who is in need and we can offer a gift for provision. Perhaps it's someone we have a special connection with and we can offer a gift of prayer. Perhaps it's someone we built a relationship with and we can offer at this awesome time of year to give a gift of thoughtful witness. Perhaps we can offer the gift of hospitality and invite someone over for dinner or invite them out to lunch. Father, you've called us to the obedience of faith, of trusting you and walking by faith. And we remember that the only thing that counts is faith working itself out through love. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. This time we're going to move to the table to celebrate communion. And if you are a guest among us this morning, you are welcome to join us at the table. We practice communion by coming forward to receive. We take the elements and we return to our seats. And then we all take it together. This morning, I've asked a few to help me serve, so Cheryl and Martha and Mary, if you would come. To think about communion, too, as we take it, that communion is a spiritual thing we do with physical things, right? We think about the gift of Jesus was the greatest spiritual gift offered to us in the flesh in a very physical, tangible way. When you think about the gifts that you can give to others, right, spiritual gifts don't mean gifts that, you know, are invisible. I mean, you can give a word of encouragement, but you can also offer something very tangible. And the most tangible thing that God offered was his presence. So as we come to communion today also, if you have children, children are welcome to participate in communion at the discretion of their parents. We practice open communion. If you come to the table, come in faith, trusting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, invites us anew to Holy Communion, through which he will give himself to us and lead us into a deeper fellowship with one another. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." So I encourage you to come to the table this morning, not only with a spirit of gratitude, but with a spirit of expectation. Expecting that God, and out of gratitude that God has given, and expecting that God will give. So Mary and Martha, I think the best way would you be switch spots so that Martha's on the inside. Come on the outside. At this time, I want to ask that you come forward. And oh, well, I'm going to be awkward. I did want to give you an opportunity. If you would like to offer those names this morning as you're coming forward for communion, I did want to do that. I wanted to offer, if you want to put those names down, and I'll let the Holy Spirit guide you. But oftentimes, in doing something tangible like this, it's a rock-solid commitment. I am going to contact these three people this week, right? This would like to make an offering. I won't look at the names you write down, but you can tear that off and put it as an offering to the Lord here as you come for communion. Let's pray together. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we come this morning to receive these gifts, we thank you. We pray that that these gifts that you've given to us would not be in vain, that we would use the gifts, the grace that you give to us would be turned out on our neighbors, that we would extend the grace, the goodness that you give us. We thank you for your love. Now help us to come to the table in faith, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Has everyone been served? And no one in need? Julie, have you been served? Yeah, good. All right. The night before he died, and as we take it, I want you to particularly think now of this bread. As you take it, the Bible, Jesus was at the table with his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." As we take it together, we remember that Jesus gave of himself completely, utterly, and wholly for us. So let's receive it together with thanksgiving. Now, as we take the cup, I'm going to switch to serving one another, right? So you have eaten of the bread that you received up here. I know that you're using discretion this morning. Some of you are struggling with illnesses, but so use your discretion. But I want to encourage you to turn to a neighbor now in the spirit of this message and offer offer your cup to the other. In other words, do an exchange of gifts, okay? So this, Jesus said, this is my, and so I'll give you a second. We do these symbolic things because they point to very real things. Right? This is who we are to be, a people serving one another. Jesus said, this is my blood. The blood of my new covenant, which is poured out for the remission of your sins. Whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's stand.
Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to him my own. Sin had left a crimson. Jesus paid it all. has paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you. I want to ask, recognition of the fact that I'm not the only gifted one here, that you are all. Does anybody have a gift to offer before we leave? A word from the Lord? Is there a leave space as we go? Yes, Bonnie, you can come on up here. If, you know, I know you feel. See, she doesn't have the gift of feeling that she does have something for us. That's right. Okay, so mini sermon. For some of us, it's really hard to receive. And for a couple, there could be a few different reasons. I know a common one is that once we receive a gift, we feel like we are indebted, that we owe a gift back. Folks, you got to be a good receiver. You got to receive things with gratitude, right? As we receive gifts from others. And that's, we can't really be good Christians unless we're good receivers. We need all the grace we can get. I don't know about you, but I do. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right? So, thanks, Bonnie. Good word. Yeah, Paul. That's right. The Holy Spirit is a gift, and he wants, right? Jesus said, ask. So ask. Lord, let's just do that right now. Lord, we ask that you'd pour out your Spirit among us, that you'd pour out your Spirit through us. Lord, even as you have given in measure, Lord, pour out abundantly. We ask, Lord, we ask you'd help us to receive all that you are for us. In the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Strength when I am weak. You are
and I want to remind everybody of the bags that the challenge Grammy B put out. That, and basically it's this Advent season, for every day of Advent, we put something into the bag, a donation for the local food shelf. There's also a devotional in there that I want to challenge everybody. Very simple devotional you can use in the morning. You can use at night. You can use around the dinner table to have a conversation about it. So pick one up back here, a bag. Again, the challenge is to put a donation of a can or a boxed food item for the food shelf, that we will present it to them as gifts then, following after Christmas.
My strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. For to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. Hark the herald angels sing.
Hail the incarnate. to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding